back. I'm Phil. That's Josh. And this is Miflo Magic.
Magic, magic, magic.
I think it was our pilot episode. You mentioned how multi-leg option strategies have been used by institutions for a number of years. And it's through these options that they've been able to stay ahead of the markets, right?
Yeah.
The problem for retail investors like you and me is that up until now, they've been somewhat cost prohibitive. So Josh, I have two questions for you. Number one, what is a multi-leg option strategy? And number two, what's changed?
Yeah. So to the first one, what is a multi-leg option strategy? It is building a trade or idea using multiple products to construct one idea. So rather than, let's say I buy a share of a stock. That's a pretty simple way to approach investing, right? I buy that stock, I know what the price is, and I'm looking to sell it at some higher price, hopefully. I can do a similar thing using options and express a directional perspective. So like, let's say I believe that Apple's going to go higher. I can go buy a Apple call, which is a single option. And that one contract controls about 100 shares of Apple. And depending on what strike price, we'll talk about that at some point, of that option that I buy, it's a way that I can have a more leveraged or capital efficient approach to the same idea. So like if I believe Apple's going higher, I could buy the shares or I could buy options as a way to express that. Another way to do that that's a little bit more savvy and nuanced is to start building trades using multiple products against each other. And so most institutions, when they look to invest in something, they're typically buying it because they're looking at it relative to something else. So let's say, for example, that we're looking at the tech sector, and that could include AMD and NVIDIA and Google and Amazon, the names that you would know. And then we are looking at financials with the financial sector. That could be like Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Deutsche Bank, stuff like that. Well, if we looked at the S&P performance and we said the techs are expensive relative to financials, what would that mean? That would mean that the financials haven't done as well as tech. And so I could buy financials because I believe that tech's kind of run out of gas. And so I'm going to buy that relative to this other thing. And some people will even create trades where they're taking a position believing that the tech will go down while the financials will appreciate. So if you've ever watched CNBC and you hear people talk about like rotating from growth stocks into value stocks or from this sector to that sector, they're looking at the relationship between them and taking kind of a relative value perspective. Now, you could do that inside an individual product using multiple options. So rather than just buying a call or buying a put, which give you a directional exposure, and they're great because they give you a defined risk, like there's a maximum amount that you can lose whenever you buy an option. You can get really cool when you start to like create an idea by buying a call and selling a call at the same time. So this is what's called a spread. And it forms the basis for every multi-leg option trade is these spreads where you're buying a call and selling a call, or you're buying a call and buying a put at the same time. So there's multiple contracts that are all expressing one idea. And that can allow you to do things that you can't do if you're just buying stock, right? If I buy a stock, the only way that thing wins is that I go higher.
Yeah, and then you sell it whenever it does go higher.
And if you're like most investors, it can go against you and you can lose money for a long time, but your advisor tells you, well, you haven't had a loss because you didn't like get out of the position. So it's just paper losses, right? With the air quotes is what they'll say. So you haven't really had a loss. And then you get back to like, finally you get back to break even. And then, you know, we also know what humans do. If there's been a lot of pain, they'll typically exit then because they just want to get past it. But yeah, it has to go higher for me to win. When I introduce multi-leg option strategies and these spreads, I actually can increase the number of outcomes that still benefit me. So one of them, for example, is called a strangle. A strangle is a position, a multi-leg option trade that allows me to benefit if a stock goes sideways for a period of time, meaning it doesn't have a direction. Or there can be positions that allow me to benefit if the stock goes lower. Or there can be some that benefit from two outcomes as opposed to just one. So if you think about whenever I buy a stock, there's typically a 50-50 bet on like, is it going to go higher or lower? But I can increase the probability of success by increasing the outcomes that I'll benefit from. So, I mean, this is one of the key ways that Warren Buffett has seen significant and consistent repeated returns over the years. One of his key strategies is to sell put spreads. And what this is it's allowing him to sell below the price of a current stock. And he can take ownership of that stock if it gets to a certain price But if the stock just goes higher, he just collects the premium and that rolls into part of the investment. So it's a much more nuanced way to approach it, and it increases the probability of success and lots of fun. The hard part is trying to figure out, like, okay, which strategy do I apply to which stock? Like that's the real challenge, and is why it keeps them out of reach for a lot of self-directed retail investors.
So basically, like if we were to scale it back, there, I think of the Office episode when Michael asks Oscar to explain accounting as if he's like a third grader, you know.
Yeah.
So if you were to explain a multi-leg option strategy to me, okay, mm-hmm. I'm the third grader here.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to say that it's basically simultaneously buying and selling options with is it more than one strike price, or would it be the same strike price?
Sometimes they're the same strike price. For example, there's one called a straddle. So you would apply a straddle if you believe that a stock is going to move higher or lower, but you don't really have a good sense of which direction. And this can happen when you have a stock that's been trading in a consolidated price range for some time. So we know that's like queued up energy, and the auction is going to take that thing higher or lower. And if you don't know, you can buy a straddle. And a straddle is buying, let's say that, you know, Apple has been trading at 150 a share for a long time, and we're expecting it to move significantly away from 150 a share. I can buy the 150 call and the 150 put and be in a position to benefit as long as Apple moves away significantly from that price. So sometimes it's the same strike price. Sometimes they're different strike prices. Sometimes you're buying and selling a call. Sometimes you're just selling options, and sometimes you're just buying them. I mean, this is the complexity around it, which makes it in a sense where people don't want to approach them, because they're like, man, that's just way too hard. It's so much easier to just think like buy a stock. Yeah. However, the thing that I home base back to, and I keep thinking of, is, well, but what's my ultimate motive and incentive to buy a stock, is that I'm actually trying to grow assets. Well, the math is clear that doesn't work. So while it's simpler, it doesn't give you a better outcome. So if you can expand your perspective on the tools that are out there, you can get much, much better outcomes. Now, to the second part of your question of like what the cost prohibitive part. So because you have multiple contracts, in the past, you had to pay a commission to your broker for each contract.
Yeah, like I think of the Super Bowl ads of E-Trade offering $7 a trade, and then Schwab coming along and saying, well, we'll do it for $6 a trade. And then eventually it kept getting lower and lower and lower until the market actually kind of balanced itself out and like, all right, everybody, let's just chill and let's do it for, you know, $6 a trade.
Right.
Until Robinhood comes along.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think about like when I got started in markets, that, you know, the standard rate was like, you know, $10 per stock trade. You could do, you know, however many shares you wanted to do, but it was $10. And this is retail pricing. Then, you know, like you said, it moved down to like, you know, $5 for, you know, however many shares, but that was for shares. That wasn't for options. Options was much harder to find good, cheap prices. You were paying, I mean, like Schwab was, it was like $10 per option contract. So it's not just like $10 for all of the options that you want to do. It's $10 per contract. And some of them, it was like $10 when you buy it and $10 when you sell it. So you're paying it on both sides. And while these multi-leg option strategies are often really predictive in terms of giving you profit, the cost on the commissions was way higher than it was for stocks. Now, if you had a seat on one of the exchanges, part of the reason that why people would have what's called a lease seat on an exchange is so they don't have to pay those fees. They can place the trades directly with the exchange and they don't need a broker. And so they don't have that fee structure, which is why they trade these things, because there's not a cost to them. They can just express it. Well, that's been the case for us, is for the self-directed retail investor, you've had to pay those fees and they've been exorbitant. Then all of a sudden, Robinhood comes along and kind of calls the bluff on the entire industry and says, you know, most of our revenue doesn't come from commissions anyway. It comes from getting people to park their money with us. And then we go take that money and we go do other stuff with it like a typical bank does. Or we turn around and we sell the order flow to a high frequency firm on the backside that basically routes and matches buyers and sellers between the different exchanges. And so that's how they monetize it. And so they didn't need to do the commissions. And what happened? Robinhood exploded in the number of new accounts. So the wash between commission versus how many assets that they had. You know, they went from like zero to all of a sudden we're, you know, competing with some of the larger firms. So that explains why people ran to Robinhood. The thing that it opened the door for you and me and the average investor out there is that the floor to access these strategies has been removed. I mean, you basically get the same pricing as if you were on the exchange. So if you now have that cost structure, it increases the profit that you get because, you know, you reduce your cost, you get better price or better profit on that. And so then now if you just understand which strategy to apply, you can be as active as, you know, institutional traders have done that were on the exchanges and benefit in your own portfolio.
Yeah, that's really, really fascinating. Totally changes the game. There's a really great interview from the How I Built This podcast where Guy Raz interviews Vlad Tenev, the co-founder of Robinhood. And Vlad explains these high frequency third party firms that where they're kind of parking the money. And so if maybe that was over your head a little bit, I'll link that interview in the show notes. I think it's worth checking out because it really kind of explains how Robinhood changed the game entirely and was able to make the money without having these commission-based trades.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth pointing out because there's this if you've heard this phrase payment for order flow, it's got kind of a negative connotation to it. They're like, "Oh wait, like you're selling my orders and that, you know, that you're getting paid for that? Like that seems shady." Well, let's walk through like what that actually does for you as a consumer. So like let's say somebody wants to buy an Apple share. If there's another person on the Robinhood platform that wants to sell the same number of shares, Robinhood can match them. But if they don't have within their brokerage the two sides of the trade, they have to go out to the exchange to find the match seller to the buyer. And in equities, so stocks, there's not, you know, we all know the New York Stock Exchange and, you know, the NASDAQ and so forth, but there are many exchanges that are out there that people are trading shares. And that can take time to match buyers and sellers. And so these firms have come up over time, these high frequency trading firms that act as a middleman to facilitate the order routing between those. What that ultimately means is it means that the price that you can buy or sell a share at is a very tight spread, meaning it's typically like a penny wide, penny or two wide between what's the highest price that I could sell it at immediately and what's the lowest price I could buy it at immediately. And so those firms, they set the spread and they pay to set the spread. So they capture, you know, like a penny between those spreads. But because they're doing millions and millions of transactions all the time, that's how they're making money. Citadel is the one that's best known. But so that they have the volume, they're paying Robinhoods and TD Ameritrades and, you know, these other Webulls of the world to get access to that order flow, which is way more than what, you know, they would receive from commissions. And so that, you know, that's where Robinhood's like, hey, we don't have to charge the commissions. We'll make it up for it in monetization of the order flow. And that ultimately still serves the consumer because you have a really efficient price. What it could be like if you didn't have those firms in place is if I said, hey, I wanted to go buy Apple at, you know, $100 a share, if it was trading there, what's the price that I could go get? And it may be 25 cents between what's like what I would want to sell it at and what somebody's willing to buy it at. So I can lose money in that transaction by not getting really efficient pricing. So that's what those firms offer to us as consumers. So it's actually a consumer benefit. And because of that, and because that how that's monetizing a lot of these brokerages, that means the commissions are going to not come, they're not coming back. So the opportunity for us to use these strategies is really now, like the time is now.
And that's why his middle name is Masterclass. Josh Masterclass Schuler. Well, thanks, Josh. That was very helpful.
You're welcome, Phil. It is. Now, you know, the last thing that I would say about the multi-leg option strategies, because there are so many, how do you get started, right? And that's where we're trying to come alongside and say, learn some simple ones that maybe use one or two option contracts, like a strangle or a straddle. Learn those, learn the mechanics of those, and understand why, what the conditions of that specific stock are that strategies in play, and then see those ideas coming through MeFlow. I mean, it generates those connected to which stock is in the best behavioral stance for that strategy. And then, you know, over time, as you see those, you go, oh yeah, this isn't that complex. Because again, that's our belief. I don't believe that the guys on Wall Street are that much smarter than you or me. I think they have a different toolkit, different pricing structure. That's now been removed. So there's great opportunity. Robinhood democratized access for all of that to all of us. And, you know, what's MeFlow doing? We're trying to democratize those tools so that we can benefit better as investors.
Brilliant. And as always, you can check it out at MeFlow.com, MIIFLO.com, or check us out on Twitter, MeFlow app.
Thanks again for listening to Me Flow Magic. I'm your host, Phil Knipe. And thanks as always to Josh Schuler, El Jefe, as he's affectionately known at the Me Flow Studios in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you like what you hear, do us a huge favor and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And please consider writing a review as well. It really helps us reach more listeners and ultimately keeps us going. The content, views, and opinions expressed in Me Flow Magic are for educational purposes only. As with all investments, there is a risk of loss, including principal, and no host or guest of Me Flow Magic shall be held liable. You should consult a financial advisor before making any investments relating to stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or whereby other investments relating to money. In other words, do your own research. This show is produced by me, Phil Knipe.